Blog Talk Radio.
And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, then they probably
bow to me. Welcome back, you guys. It is another Wednesday, and we are back. It's been a crazy week in football, of course. We're gonna try to touch on everything major, including Zeke's hearing, and of course, the devastating. Devastating injury to Julian Edelman. Of course, you guys know we're going to touch on that today. So first off, you know me. I just want to thank all of you guys, my new listeners tuning in. Tonight, of course, you guys know I'm your girl, your host. I'm Mimi, and I'll be here with you guys on Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Just want to thank you guys all for tuning in tonight. And if you're feeling bold or maybe a little bit daring, you guys are always welcome to call in on my show. The lines are open as we speak. Phone number is 917-889-7828. Again, if you want to call in, you're feeling bold, you want to debate a little bit, you guys can call in at 917-889-7828. You guys are always welcome. I'll answer all your questions. And like I said, if you just want to call in because you have an opinion about something that I've said, I'm always down for the debate. I like to, you know, get into it down in the nitty-gritty. So don't be scared. You can call in. I'm here for you guys. So hope everyone has had a blessed week so far. And we're still praying for those who've been affected by Hurricane Harvey. You know, our hearts definitely go out to them. And hopefully Texas will get themselves, you know, back together. And hopefully we're able to help. I know a lot of people are helping with donations and stuff. If you guys have any questions or anything like that, we are also accepting donations. You can find me on Instagram. You guys can find me on Instagram at official_Mimi_C, and that's my Twitter as well. And you can also email me at Mia Chambers, MIACHAMBERZ 24@gmail.com. I have people who are setting up care baskets, and I'd love to get, you know, anything that you guys would like to donate over to them. So if you guys want to donate or want to help out in any way, please don't hesitate to contact me. You know, every little bit helps. So we appreciate that for you guys. So, of course, you know, we want to get this show on the road. I know you guys are super excited. It's another week of gameplay. Probably not as excited as I am, but we're back, guys. We are back. One more week left until football. So, as you all know, let's start off with what everybody probably wants to talk about, and that's, of course, Zeke's suspension hearing. It's now been stretched out 2 days after about a 10-hour stint yesterday. His case is being heard by Harold Henderson, if you didn't already know that, and Elliot is definitely scheduled to testify under oath during these proceedings. Now, Zeke has denied all allegations, like I told you guys before, and he's never been legally charged or arrested on this incident. But we still have no answers as the appeal process continues on. But if the suspension is upheld, Elliot will not be able to participate in any of the team's activities starting September 2nd. There is no time frame for Henderson to make a decision, according to some of the reports that I've been reading. But this could benefit Zeke in a number of ways, I should say. Without a decision on his status, he would remain eligible to play and on the active roster. Now, the Cowboys may have to cut a player that they probably wouldn't want to lose, but that may not be such a bad thing to have Zeke on the roster if he's, you know, able to play. But to keep him on the active roster until a decision has been made. So if you're not really familiar with this process, what does that exactly mean? Well, Zeke will be able to play just like Brady was able to play 2 years ago when the whole Deflategate situation happened. Now, if the suspension is upheld, then he would immediately move back to the suspended list, which obviously we know what happens with that. Also, in the Cowboys' favor, Zeke could fight the decision in court, and that would make him eligible to play until the case is heard. And that also means that he would have to serve the suspension, that he would not have to serve the suspension right away, which is also a plus for the Cowboys. So there are some options on the table for the Cowboys to look into if the suspension is upheld, still trying to get their number one star running back to be able to play during this season. So you just have to decide. However, if he does fight and he is able to play this season and they go through the court system, off season, and he is found, again guilty, then you got to think about, he's going to be suspended in 2018. Now, is that really worth it? I mean, that's 3 years in to a cohesive team when you still have a chance of getting to the playoffs even without Zeke, because, the Cowboys are definitely, going to be a team to reckon with in the NFC. So we have to really think about it. Is it worth it to be suspended this year, or is it worth it to be suspended, next year? But looks like we have a caller calling in. Somebody wants to be bold. Somebody wants to be daring. Let's see who we have on the line. Hello, call. Oh, do we got him? Hello, caller.
I am your biggest fan. You're my hero. When I grow up, I hope I have a radio show just like yours.
Oh, hush. It's none other than PLR himself, you guys. Paul, what is going on? How are you, my friend?
Everything is good. Like I said, I try to emulate superstars, and the only way to emulate them is to listen to them. So I figured, if maybe I'd be blessed enough to get through and say a couple of words, but I couldn't believe you actually accepted my call.
Yeah, I just looked over and looked, there's somebody popped up. I was like, oh, who wants to go under the gun tonight? Who wants to go under the gun? None other than my good old friend, Paul. I'm glad you're here. So, you caught me right in the middle of, Zeke and his suspension. So what do you think is going to happen?
I think the NFL should either suspend him for 6 games or 0 games. Either he's guilty or he's not.
It's one or the other.
You know what? It's fascinating to hear you say that, especially being a female, because of, what he's actually accused of. But when it comes to those situations, I tread real lightly, because as a guy, you don't want to come off sounding like an insensitive idiot. But when I hear this case and everything you say after the word, but this discounts everything you said before, but here we go anyway. I'm just having trouble, and maybe the NFL found something that no one else saw, in law enforcement or anything. But if the accounts are true that this was all a setup to extort money from him, it makes it hard to follow through on anything else. And from what I'm hearing from other reports is that the NFL never even spoke to her. They never called her. They never did anything that would kind of prove his side of the case. I'm just curious. But if my thing, though, is right now, whether he's guilty or not, I don't want to see a 6-game suspension cut down to 4. It's either 6 or it's nothing. Because here's where the NFL is showing that they're two-faced liars. You can't – if touching a woman – And domestic abuse is a minimum is 6 games, then you should get your 6 games. If you're innocent, then you get 0 games. But when they reduce it, and you are, and they give you 4 games, does that mean you hit her but you didn't hit her real hard? I mean, what does it mean? So if you did it, it's 6 games.
You're right. Either you're guilty or you're not. Like if you reduce the sentence, then it's like, yeah. If you reduce the sentence, then it's like, well, you might be guilty. Maybe you were a little guilty. Maybe you slapped her instead of punched her. Like, what is it? You're right. What does it mean? I agree. I really feel like he should have 0 games, suspension, because not to say, okay, this is what I want to say. I don't want to seem like the insensitive female who doesn't care about women, but either she stepped up to say something about it, or she didn't. Either she was extorting him or she didn't. If the government police can't find no evidence, where did the NFL get evidence from?
See, the difference is, and the NFL put themselves, as my dad used to say, they put themselves in a trick bag, because they're basically saying you could be found innocent in the court of law, but because of what you're doing to the league and our face and our brand, we can still suspend you. Well, I think that's a farce, to be perfectly honest with you. If you're found innocent of something, then you're found innocent. I mean, what did they do to Jim Irsay when he was found with dope and cash? And people want to say, well, they're dope and cash. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be perfectly – I'm serious. He's a rich NFL owner, and they fined him and suspended him. Okay, let's be honest. What do owners do to change the flow of a game? Nothing. What do they do when it's time to call plays? Nothing. So suspending him means instead of watching it in his luxury box for 6 or 7 games, he's watching games in his mansion for 6 or 7 games. So
exactly.
They did nothing to him. So in essence, other than fine him a bunch of money, so you know what owners do when you fine them $1 million? Your $8 hot dog is now a $10 hot dog. Your $20 parking is now $30 parking. He's going to get his money back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. So
right.
What people don't think about when they think about, well, Jim Irsay got this. Irsay is an owner. Roger Goodell works for the owners, not for the players. There's a big difference between the two. So when he's handing down these suspensions arbitrarily and moving them around arbitrarily, you have to know that there's an end game for him, that he's going to protect the people that he hired him, and he's going to be different with the other people. And that showed when Josh Brown, the ex-kicker for the Giants, when NFL covered up his spousal abuse, that cops were called out, I don't know, about 20 separate occasions, which to me screams some type of guilt, and they gave him one game. And the Giants knew it and rewarded him with a new contract. Here we have a kid who, I don't know if he's innocent, I don't know if he's guilty, but you come right out with 6 games. Now, Zeke doesn't help himself by being a roving idiot by pulling the woman's top down in the middle of, you know, in public like that, but that's not a 6-game suspension for doing that. You know, and we can't go back to his Ohio State years and say, well, when you were at home, he wasn't a pro then. So you got to judge him from what he's done as a Dallas Cowboy. So I don't know. I like I said, either it's 6 games or 0 games.
Or
games.
No.
And I think, or no games. It's one or the other. I just think the NFL, once again, they missed the point on this. And just asking you a question. Have you ever heard of a baseball player getting suspended for something other than steroids and them changing the amount of games if they're not arrested? Or in the NBA, have you ever heard of that if they're not arrested? No. Only the NFL does this crap. So,
exactly.
I don't know.
Because
I'm off
NFL,
my soapbox.
They are their own. They are honestly their own, and, you know, you can't tell them nothing, so you just got to deal with it. You got to deal with their rules, their regulations. It's, you know, it's a dictatorship. You know, on democracy.
I think Dallas is going to be fine. To be perfectly honest with you,
they're absolutely going to fine. They have Alfred Morris and they have McFadden. I mean, they're fine. If they can get the job done until Zeke comes back, the thing is, it's not like they're going to be messed up either way. Obviously, instead of blowing teams out or Zeke having breakout games or he's just breaking the field for, like, you know, 70 yards, you might just have a break in the field for, like, 40 yards or 30 yards or 20 yards, you know. They may not blow teams out, but they're still going to win. They'll probably win. If he gets suspended, I would say that 4 out of those 6 games.
Me too. Dak Prescott is better than he's being given credit for right now, to be perfectly honest with you. I know it's preseason, but Dak looks great. You know who he reminds me of, actually? Yep. He reminds me of Russell Wilson. Not in the way he plays the game, but when Russell Wilson first started, it was always run, 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 run. How good really is Russell Wilson because he has a really good running back. Well, Russell Wilson showed he can play. And that kind of reminds me of that. It's like, yeah, I have a run game, but I can play. So I think that's going to show itself. But hey, listen, I'm about to let you go and do your thing. But I just want to say one thing real quick. I don't know. I know you're probably going to get to it. But Pittsburgh, the rich just got richer. And I don't know if you saw it yet, but Cleveland cut Joe Hayden and the Steelers picked him up.
Yeah,
so now
I
they
saw
have
that train. Well, not really train, but I saw that.
Yep, their defense just got better. Wow, I was like,
well,
wow, you got to be kidding.
It already wasn't too bad, you know. So the Steelers definitely had, you know, a good hand in the money pot. They're saying that, you know, because really, honestly, if you think about it, that's the only real competition for New England every year is when it comes up to playoff times and they have to play the Steelers. You know, because once you get over, I mean, the AFC East is garbage. And, you know, when you get over a little bit, the Steelers are really the only ones besides Baltimore when Baltimore is playing well. But Baltimore is going to be whack. So, I mean, the Steelers is all it's going to be. So, with their defense being elite, they have the best shot of taking New England down. So I would see why they would put money into that. I mean, their defense didn't look bad, you know, through preseason.
No.
And some of those young guys are really fighting for those number one spots.
Yep, that's a great signing. And then real quick, Perfect did not deserve to be suspended, and I'm going to leave you with that. And enjoy the rest of your show. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, sounds good. Bye. Yes, guys, I'm back. Well, I got to thank Paul for calling in. That's awesome, you guys. So anytime you guys want to call in, don't hesitate to call in. I'll definitely see you guys in, and we can chat a little bit about what's on your mind during this football season. So moving on real quick, I just want to talk quickly about the little quarterback drama that was never really drama, you guys. But I just want to talk about it because, you know, I love to be right, and I love it when I'm right, and it doesn't get any better than this. But if you guys have been tuning in, you know, for the past couple weeks, you guys already know how I feel about the quarterback decision in Cleveland. For all the new listeners, my standpoint was that Cleveland should go with Kizer. Instead of Brock, of course, because Brock is just a waste of time and energy and money if he gets hurt at this point because, you know, he's terrible. I mean, he's worse than, you know, the worst, and he's super overrated, and I just feel like that's a dead end altogether. So I think that Cleveland made the right decision here in going with the rookie. Some may think that he's not ready or he doesn't have enough talent around him to be successful, but in all actuality, you guys, he's got to start somewhere. I mean, what do you expect from him? He has to learn somehow, and there's no better way for him to learn than, you know, basically to just get out there. So he does have the potential to be a long-term answer for, you know, the travesty at the quarterback position, you know, that the Browns have had to deal with. Kizer is at least young. He's fresh. He brings some excitement to the team. I mean, this team, at the very least, is lackluster, you know, and it has been for a long time now. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, this move is going to take the Browns into the playoffs this year. I mean, you never know, any given Sunday. But, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to, you know, take them into the playoffs, but it will start to build a foundation for them. And every good team starts with their quarterback play. Of course, you guys know that. So these are just facts, people. They need a good quarterback. Brock is not a good quarterback, so they had no choice but to go with Kizer. And, you know, the Browns can get all of the kinks out of him this year. They can work with him, work on his ups and his downs, what he's good at, what he's bad at, and, you know, they can capitalize upon that. They can use this as a test year to see if, you know, he really does have what it takes. See if they can really work around him and build around him. So going into the 2018 season, Cleveland has 5 draft picks in the first 2 rounds, you guys. You know how ridiculous that is? 5 draft picks in the first 2 rounds. You know, so what they can do is, you know, if Kizer is the answer, they can start bringing some of that talent to surround him because those 5 picks are going to be crucial for them next year. And then maybe – yes, maybe we can start considering, you know, Cleveland to be playoff contenders. But, you know, it's never, you know, it's too soon to go that far. We got to see how game one goes, and then we can start talking about it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. The defense, you know, Cleveland's defense shouldn't be too shabby either, you guys. I mean, they had the likes of Miles Garrett and Darrell Peppers, you know, on the roster. That's, you know, that's pretty stout defense, and it's going to be fun to watch them play. So when your defense plays good, your offense wants to play better. So we can only hope that, you know, Cleveland takes charge of that and they use that to their advantage. You know, looks like this year, you guys, they won't have to fight to be the worst team in the NFL because, hands down, it'll probably be the Jets. No, it probably is the Jets. But I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that dragon right where it is before I get into some trouble over here. I know I got some listeners over there in the big city. Sorry, New York. You know how I feel about you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But I'm not a Jets fan. I'm not a Jets fan. So it looks like Cleveland will not be the worst team in the NFL this year. It's probably going to be the Jets. I will be surprised if the Jets would win any games this year. But that might benefit them as well, because if they don't win any games this year, then they will probably get the number one pick, which they need, and they need to start researching what quarterbacks are going to be available for the 2018 draft class, because, well, the 2017, but 2018 play year. But they need to figure out who they're going to get, because their quarterback situation is disastrous, and they're really going to need to fix something over there. They just need to start over. They need to just rebuild from the bottom up. They need to clean house and start completely over. But hopefully you Jets fans have just accepted reality and hope that you lose every game so you guys get that number one pick. So another suspension debacle from this week has been reduced down in Ohio. I just want to touch quickly on this. You guys heard Paul talk about it, so I'm just going to touch on it a little bit. The Bengals' Vontaze Burfict 5-game suspension has now been reduced to 3 games, you guys, for the illegal hit on Kansas City's fullback, Anthony Sherman. Now, Burfict has been known to be a repeat offender in this situation. He hit Sherman while, of course, he was in a defenseless position, as it was called. He felt like this hit wasn't as bad as what they made it seem, but I feel like because he's such a repeat offender that they had no choice but to suspend him, because it was teeter-tottering on the line of is it or is it not. And also last year he was basically suspended for the same thing. So, I mean, he's got to be careful because they're watching him. They're watching these dirty plays. They want to protect the players. I think that they might have got it wrong this time. But, you know, like I said, he's a repeat offender. So he's got to be careful because they got their eyes on him. He hits hard. You know, he works hard. He wants to take the players out, and that's what kind of game this is. But when you become a repeat offender, the refs are going to have their eyes on you. And just so you guys can kind of understand the severity of this situation, he's been in the league for 5 years, and he's been fined almost $800,000. $800,000 he's been fined on 16 flags. He's been flagged 16 times for $800,000 for unnecessary roughness, personal fouls, and obviously roughing the passer. So, I mean, you've got to understand. And then as it was standard, the lost wages from this suspension is going to more than double that $800,000. So it's like, I mean, he's given the league over $2 million in fine money for these hits, which, you know, are not legal in the league right now. And I feel like he needs it unless he likes giving his money away. I mean, I'm saying, if you want to just throw your money away, you can throw it my way, please. And thank you. I mean, I'll take it. I mean, I guess when you go all out, you close your eyes, you open your eyes, and next thing you know, the other player's on the ground, and you're not realizing if it's been, you know, a legal hit or not. So I feel like, I don't feel like he has bad intentions. I don't feel like he's out there just trying to, you know, level guys, but, you know, he's got to be careful because he's known for the hard hits. He's known for the illegal hits, and so the refs are going to be out there watching him. So you got to be careful, Burfict. You got to be careful. So that's all I really want to say about that. You know, I just want to move along to the saddest day in Patriots fanhood this season. You guys know where I'm going with this. You guys know what I'm about to say. I can't even believe that I'm going here, but I am, because we got to talk about it. Like, what in the heck is going on? How could this have happened to us? I mean, we can never, ever just play together. We can never, ever have a fully healthy team. It's like a curse for being so good. Like, somebody is always hurt, always hurt. So I think that I might have shed a few tears when we lost Jules, when he hit the ground on that. I mean, he didn't even get hit. I'm not saying it was anybody's fault. You know, it's just one of those freak accidents. It just sucks, guys. I mean, we just have to talk about this. We have no choice but to talk about this, because this is probably one of the worst injuries besides losing Brady. Let me knock on some wood here. You guys hear that? Knocking on wood. That could happen to us. I mean, Edelman is such a dynamic player. I mean, he's going to be hard to replace. I know they say next man up, but, you know, I really don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear next man up, because no one does what Jules does, and Brady doesn't have the confidence in many other players besides Gronk like he does in Jules. I mean, if you guys haven't already heard the bad news, Julian Edelman, he was carted off to the locker room with a suspicion of a torn ACL on Friday against the Lions. And it has been confirmed, you guys, that he did tear his ACL and he will be out for the season, although he's fighting to get back as fast as he can. Clearly, the naysayers out there, and, of course, everyone of my friends and family members are all saying that, you know, the Patriots, are they going to still make it? Are they going to go to the Super Bowl? Are they going to have a perfect season? The answer is, of course we are. Hello. Yes, we are. Yes, I'm a part of the team. That's how much of a fan I am. I have to say we, because I feel like I'm out there playing with you boys. Now, don't get me wrong. Losing Julian Edelman was a big loss for the Patriots, but they are going to use this as motivation. Trust and believe that. They're going to fight for Edelman this season. They're going to be on a kill tour for Jules. Mark my words. I mean, you guys hear, you always hear the Patriots news here first. And listen, they're going to go hard for their boy because they love him. So they will probably win to tell you guys that right now in Julian's honor, and it probably will be the perfect ending to the Blitz for Six. You know, I've been calling that out since last, you know, since the Super Bowl. We're blitzing for six. They're already pulling the phrase, so let's go with it. I mean, you guys heard it here first. Yes, I'm saying that we're going to the Super Bowl. I know everybody's going to be trying to side bet me, but hey, it is what it is. Now, I want to tell you guys that I'm not completely in la-la land. Yes, this injury does hurt, but it doesn't derail the season. Brady still has a nice group of talent that surrounds him. Of course, we got Gronk. He needs to stay healthy. Gronk, stay healthy, okay? You know, Amendola, as long as he's healthy, he's a dynamic player. He's, you know, he's no Julian Edelman, but he can get the job done. James White, he's pretty healthy, and he's going to take on a bigger role now that Edelman's gone, because he's going to have to hop in that spot. But the boy got him, so we don't have to worry too much about that. Deion Lewis, you guys already know what he can do. He's a beast, and, you know, he's able to switch up positions as well. So we'll be able to utilize him in more than one position, especially with Edelman out. Now, of course, you know, preseason has been pretty quiet, you know, for Brandon Cooks, but they haven't even unleashed the beast that is him. Of course, we're not going to show you everything that we can do in preseason, because we're trying to win every game this season. You never want to go into a game saying, oh, yeah, I don't think we can win this one. You know, the Patriots never, they believe that they can win every game. That's probably because they can win every game, unless some freak accident happens, like Julian Edelman going down in the first. Now, I'm sure with, you know, Edelman out, like I said, James White is going to see a lot more playing time. He was a big asset, you know, in the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's considered a pass-catching running back. You know, he's got hands. He can catch the ball. He's exciting to watch. And, you know, like I said, he came in clutch for his team, you know, last season on numerous plays. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, Brady's talent around him, because honestly, he really does have a lot of players around him that, you know, he's got a lot of talent. So although nobody can replace Julian Edelman, he does have a lot of talent behind him. So he should, you know, the Patriots, him and the Patriots should be fine. And oh my God, I didn't even think about this, you guys. I forgot to even mention Chris Hogan, who's like a beast on another level. I mean, last week he had 2 touchdowns in about 5 minutes against the Lions. I mean, that I just named off like 7 targets for Brady. Brady has 7 healthy targets. I mean, we're going to be destroying teams this year as long as nobody else gets hurt. So don't get it twisted. The Patriots are still the best in the AFC and probably the best in the NFL right now. Although this injury does, you know, hurt them a little bit and might move them down in the power rankings just a little bit, the Patriots could still potentially go undefeated this season. Edelman's absence will definitely affect the way New England attacks offensively and defensively, but have no worries. Listen, as long as number 12 is under center, you guys, there's always a chance to go to the big show. There's always a chance to go to the big show with number 12 in the center. So I'm not too concerned. Now, it has been a long week for me, as you know, everyone knows that I'm a diehard fan. So all the haters have been hitting me up with the one-line jokes and the less than appropriate comments, you know, about my boys. I don't appreciate it. You guys can keep all that hate to yourself. But I just brush it off because I know come playoff time when they're sitting at home and we are back in this bowl, all I'm going to be doing is smiling and reminiscing on these remarks and cracking back jokes. Like, but where you at? But where you at? Because we blitzing for 6. This season, you guys, we're going for number 6. So this week they play their kryptonite, the Giants. And although, you guys, it's just a preseason game, I really hope they win this game because I just can't stand to lose to the Giants. I also hope that with the scare of Edelman that the starters sit this one out. I really hope that none of the starters play this game. We really can't afford to lose, you know, any more of our starters to a game that doesn't even matter, especially with a short week coming and game one happening on Thursday. So it's Thursday night, you guys, against the Chiefs. You know, that's why I'm excited. One more week of football. It's the real deal. It's back. No more fake games. We're going to have, you know, fun. We're going to make it a good game for you guys. Yes, I'm acting like I'm going to be out there playing because I'm probably going to be coaching from wherever I'm at. But that's another story that we'll get into. You guys might have to, I might have to send you guys a clip. I might have to post a clip on my Instagram or something so you guys can see how I really get down when I watch games. But we'll save all that for next week. Where I will go into my win and loss picks of the week. And, you know, I love doing that with you guys. I can't believe football is officially back. And so we just, all we have to do is things to get later because Lord knows we've been waiting a long time for this, long time for football to be back. And it is finally back. So that's it, you guys. That is all I got for you right now. I'm about to wrap it up for you guys before they start playing that music on me. I just want to thank you guys, of course, for tuning in. Next week, we'll definitely go and talk about the ins and outs of week one. We're going to talk about who wins, who loses, who has the week one upset, and who does exactly what we expect. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in tonight. Your guys' continued support means everything to me. If you got here late, you guys can catch me on Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Of course, I'm always your hostess with the mostest, Mimi. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. You guys know my handles, but I'll give it to you again. Official_Mimi_C. And my Snapchat is SissySuave84. That's SissySuave84. It has been another amazing show. I hope everyone has a safe and fun holiday weekend. I will see you guys all next week. I am your host this week and every week, and this has been another amazing episode of Gameplay. I'm out, y'all. I am a lion down in the jungle. I am a marching band. I am the people. I am a helping hand. I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope. When my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
quitter.
In the ring of life, I'll rain love.
I will rain.
And the world will know that I came.
Oh, yeah.